to Giant Swantown.
Welcome back to the town. Liam Flanagan here, joined by Adam Curley, as always. G'day, Curls.
Hey, Flanagan. It's good to be here.
Always a pleasure. We've got a win and a loss to talk about in the town this week. But before we do that, let's check the sounds of the town. Let's check how things are sounding at Moore Park. Mr. Papley. Mr. Pat, now, we're not going to get into it now, Curls, because I know you've prepared. You sent me a message on Twitter during the week after that game, and you said, I am preparing for this. So keep your powder dry, and we're going to get to that at the moment. But let's check the sounds of the town with GWS. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. Yep, still standing GWS after that come-from-behind win over the Bombers. We'll break that one down very shortly. Jeez, they only just got through there. But let's talk about the Sydney Swans. They went down to Collingwood last Thursday night to the tune of 9 points.
So here's Thurlow, the former Cat. First game this year, first goal, first kick, beautiful. Sydney gets the first goal against the Pies. Ray Rusko. Nice approach, good style, right foot, bang. Kicks the goal, very happy about it, and they're all getting to him.
Another exclusive club, and he's done it. Wicks has kicked a beautiful goal from 45, straight over the goal umpire's hat. And now the Swans players come to their man in his first game, and that's good to see as well.
At halfback, made a mess of this one. Sydney's pressure was good. Papley with a right foot snap. Goal to Sydney. Collingwood can do nothing right at the moment.
Ben Reid steps up to the plate. Left foot drop punt. It is home. And the Magpies hit the front. Hampire's fucked to Hayward. Now a high kick. The full foot's gone long. I think he's got it. That's a goal to Sydney. In fact, it was Thurlow. 2-point ball game. Turnover from the Swans. Dacos got in front of Mills. Kept it in play too. Look at this. Light bit of magic from the forward pocket. Goes for the banana. That is a ripper. Dacos might have sealed the deal. Whistle goes and so does the siren. The Magpies get the 4 points. 6-14-50. They've defeated Sydney by 9 points.
Curls, what did you make of this one?
Well, it was just about unwatchable. The first, I must say, that first quarter was just absolutely horrific. Pretty much, I don't know how the Collingwood fans would have put up with it. They must have been throwing things at their TVs, but the game should have been over at quarter time. But yeah, the Pies finishing was horrible, and it kept the Swans in the game. And with a young team like the Swans, they were never going to go away. The longer you keep them in it, the longer you give them a chance. And the Pies, if it wasn't for young Dacos pulling off a goal his dad would definitely be proud of, they might be pretty embarrassed.
Yeah, the scoreline, for those that didn't watch it too closely, Collingwood 6-14-50 defeating the Swans 6-5-41. That scoreline probably underlines how dominant the Magpies were with in terms of owning the football. Their efficiency was awful in the forward 50, but they owned the football. They won all the significant numbers. Thought John Longmire made a really interesting point in the press conference when asked about the domination around of the football by Collingwood. He made a good point, is that, well, every time we went inside our forward 50, we kicked a goal. So the ball never stayed in there. It just went back to the middle. Look, we had, and then we had trouble exiting our defensive 50, which is obviously something that they will need to work on. But he's right. They were, they kicked five straight to start the game. So that probably inflated the numbers in favour of Collingwood somewhat. You roll through this game a little bit. There aren't a lot of highlights to speak of, but you had an idea, Curls, and you want to break down what happened in that final 10 minutes, because we've spoken about the learning and we've spoken about the youth of this team. But if they want to take some lessons away from this game, there were plenty there in the final 10 minutes.
Yeah, there was. And I just, I guess it started, and it was about 10 minutes 15, I reckon, left on the clock when the Swans had caused a turnover in the middle. Ollie Florent had a handball to Elijah Taylor, and the young fella was away. That was the first one. The handball went just behind him. Taylor had to stop, got caught, bashed by the...
Yeah,
the opportunity was over. We're not saying he would have run, had five bounces and kicked a goal, but he was away.
Would have,
he might have. He's got the talent, but he definitely would have put it inside 50, and he had time and space to carry. And who knows what would have happened? But just little things like that. And then Tom Papley, a really bad miss in front of goal. Was it from the free kick?
Yes.
Or was it a different one? It was from that free kick. Just got to kick those. I think it was the stoppage with the stretcher probably hurt him. The concentration in Pies definitely handled it better after that. But Lewis Melican's kick in at the end of the game that led to the Dacos goal. I understand what he was trying to do, get it in and try and win the game, but he's just got to hit those targets. And young teams make those mistakes. And I think if Collingwood was in the same position or Richmond or Port Adelaide who are flying at the moment, they just don't make those mistakes.
You've touched on three things in that nice little summary of those last 10 minutes. First of all, the kick in from Melican. Why is he kicking in? I would have thought that's Jake Lloyd all day.
Well, I think, yeah, I think it was just,
I know it was in a hurry, but...
Yeah, I think that was probably the case that it didn't matter at that stage. Whoever was there just grabs it and tries to play on, which I can't say for sure whether Jake was close or whether Lloyd or Rampy or someone just yelled at Melican to grab it. But, I mean, he still, if he can kick the footy, he doesn't miss that target, then we don't have to have the discussion. But
Yeah, I know my only thinking was in those situations, it's also decision-making as much as ability. You know, you see Caleb Daniels a perfect example. He's a beautiful field kicker of the football, but they also rate him as one of the best decision-makers at the Western Bulldogs. That's why he has that responsibility. And I would have thought for the Swans, and again, young team, I don't know if Lewis Melican, who hasn't been able to cement a spot in this side this year, is necessarily the best decision-maker in those circumstances. I get the clock. Anyway, we'll move on from that one. Next thing we need to talk about, Sam Wicks. First game, got a goal. What'd you make of his overall performance?
I think he did his job pretty well. He hunted the Pies forwards a lot of times and laid some big tackles, kicked the goal. Probably needs some new boots after the weekend. I don't think he'll be using those ones again.
It's that horrible, horrible injury that Isaac Quaynor suffered as a result of Sam's boots, the big gash down the shin. Sam Wicks, not guilty in the slightest. These are boots that are worn widely throughout the competition, which have since been banned by the AFL. It's a really unfortunate set of circumstances with no winners. But the biggest talking point was this.
They're going to get an opportunity through Stevens inside forward 50. Ooh. Papley got a push, or he tried to con the umpire on a push, and I think he has con the umpire. I tell you what, Braden Maynard, he's going to go off his head. Umpire just telling Braden, settle down, Braden. I've made my decision. I'm not going to change it now.
Just having a look at the Bosch Tools replay.
Oh, that's an Oscar, that
is
one.
Is that milking? Is that what Clarko... Is that milking?
That is milking. Clarko might have had a point.
Adam Curley, I give you the floor.
Well, I did say I prepared for this, but I must say that the fine I don't have a problem with for staging. If they think that's staging, then fine him by all means. But Matt MRO's come out in the middle of a season and picked this incident out of 400 that probably would have gone on this year of blokes playing for free kicks and decided fine Tom Papley. Like, that's what I have a massive issue with. We even had people on the night after calling for Callum Ward to be fined when he was clearly taken high. Yes, he played for the free kick, but as I said, it happens 50 times a game. That's my rant. Fine. I don't care about the penalty. Tom Papley will pay that every day of the week. But you can't just pull one out in the middle of a season and say, this is staging, let's crack down on it.
For whatever, and ditto. I couldn't agree with your summation more, Curls. I don't think Tom Papley probably gives a stuff about the $500, really.
He's probably got that spare change in his back pocket, let's be honest.
The frustration, again, falls back on the inconsistencies that the AFL is now putting out into the AFL world. I mean, I know Clarko is the best coach of the last 10 years, maybe 20 years. But for whatever reason, his comments seem to sway the minds of the AFL, the MRO, everybody, into creating these grey areas and these inconsistencies. He comes out and says what he did about the holding the ball. And since then, it has been one of the greatest frustrations of players, coaches and fans alike, because the umpires have changed the way they adjudicate the rule. Or the AFL adjusted the way the rule was to be adjudicated. I don't blame umpires for any of this, by the way. The umpires are out there doing the best they can, making decisions about a set of rules that are handed to them. Zero blame apportioned to the AFL umpires themselves for this. And then he comes out and says what he says about Papley the other day, and now Tom Papley's thrown into the spotlight. Now they have created this grey area by which every fan every opposite, every coach, every player is going to be looking at incidents and thinking, well, I expect that to be a fine. You know, the Cal Ward one, yes, he put some mayo on it, but he got collected high. But of course, the conversation then becomes, well, if Papley's fined $500, so should Callum Ward. And that cost Essendon the game. So you've created this world. It seems that they have this vision for the game. And to try and arrive at this vision, they are prepared to bugger up the game as we watch it at the moment.
Like I said, if you come out at the start of the year, I mean, there was two or three, 4 years ago when they said if blokes start staging for free kicks, they're going to get fined and suspended. And it happened for about a couple of months and then it just gets forgotten about. And now suddenly it comes back in again. Like, as we said, fine means nothing to Tom Papley. Like, he'd probably be a bit embarrassed by it more than anything. But even if you want to come out and say, look, there's a warning, Tom, don't do that again or you miss a game. That's fine, but you can't just start finding blokes mid-season, I don't reckon.
Another way they could have gone about this is they go to Sydney and they send Sydney a tape. They go, hey, we've been tracking this for the last month, right? Here is a tape of Tom Papley's, and I'm not saying Tom Papley does this, because the reality is players have been playing for free kicks or penalties in every sport the moment an official was handed a whistle. Because all of a sudden it's a part of the game, and when you hand a referee, an official in any sport, a whistle, smart players will go, well, how can I maximise that bloke having or that person having a whistle to my advantage? Rugby league went through a period where players were staying down so the referees would review the play for the... I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting off the point. Document these things. Send them to the clubs individually and say, our umpires have been told. This is why these specific players won't get free kick. Tom Papley will need to be thrown 15 metres forward by four players to get a free kick moving forward because of this. Or, hey, Joel Selwood will need to have his head removed from his shoulders to get a free kick moving forward because of this. Make a long-term dossier about these players that demonstrates to their clubs, hey, this is now why your player gets umpired differently, because of his own behaviour. He's created this. Don't just pick one out of the bloody ether, which then destroys the entire fabric of the competition.
And like you said, it's not the umpire's fault. It makes it extremely hard on them because now they're looking at, well, is that a high tackle or is he playing for that? And they don't have time for that sort of stuff. So warnings for players, fine.
Yeah, and then don't give them free kicks. And then that hurts them and their team.
Players stop doing it.
Pies got the win. Pies needed the win. Swans are, it's a learning season. We've spoken about that. The work experience season continues for the Sydney Swans. And I think your breakdown of that final 10 minutes is probably what Horse is doing. Already has done with his players and some of the decisions they made in those last 10 minutes. So you've got the votes for this one, Curls. Lamb Mumford, yes. Medallion, just the 3-2-1, no double votes.
3-2-1, we'll go 3 for Jake Lloyd, who's putting in another really consistent season. Geez, he's seen a lot of ball down there. But he's also doing a lot of good stuff one-on-one, which has really come on in the last couple of years with his game. Two votes I gave to, I've switched these around. I had them switched around the other day, but I'm going Jordan Dawson for 2.
Yes.
Been like, as same with Lloyd, really consistent. No, it doesn't get as much of the ball, but he's really lethal with that left boot of his and is turning into a really good player. And one vote I've gone for James Rowbottom.
Yes.
Who probably went under the radar again a little bit, but had 17 touches and 16 of them were contested. 7 clearances, most for the Swans again. It's just turning into a really hard nut in the midfield. And shout out to Luke Parker, who had a bit of a rough game, didn't get much of the ball, but did lay 12 tackles.
Yeah.
So the skipper still leading from the front. But, yeah, they're the votes this week.
Very nice. I think Jackson Thurlow also deserves a bit of a shout-out. Great. I don't know, was that his first game for the year?
First game for the year, yeah, as a forward, which I don't think anyone would have picked. So, yeah, he did. He gave them a bit up there. So well done.
Another bloody defender masquerading as a forward, except Jackson kicked two. Him and Alir Alir at the masquerade ball again.
Well, I was going to bring this up when we moved to the Giants, but I thought I'd bring it up now. Might as well, a good segue into the Giants. What's your thoughts on Phil Davis playing
as a
forward?
Don't worry, we'll get to that. We'll get to Phil and his...
Don't like Alir Alir playing up there. Phil Davis is a forward on the weekend.
Even less. I like it even less. All right, let's talk about that game next. We move along to Friday night where the Bombers took on the Giants, and this is how we called it on Triple M.
30 metres out. No one going to worry about it all for Tipper. And that's three in a row. Make it four in a row to the Bombers. They lead it by 16 points.
Dylan Shield. Here, tied back like a samurai. Gee, unloads from 55.
No way.
That's a huge leg from Dylan Shield. The Giants give up five in a row.
Sam Draper lining up. He's kicked his first goal. Draper in AFL footy. Look at the celebration. Have a look at it. He's gone berserk, Draper.
So it was Whitfield, then Caldwell. Handballs it off immediately round the corner. Finally a goal for the Giants. Finlayson's the man that kicked it.
And McKenna, he wanted to get Heath short. And he's given away Finney. The Irishman's had a meltdown there, Juddy.
Yeah, he was frustrated.
Puts Heath short. 5 metres out from goal, he slides it through, he's got a couple, he's sure.
Racing, he's going to get it, kick the goal. Jeez. The GWS Giants are in front. It's a nice step from Saad, unloads from 55. It's home from Saad. Only problem is, siren's about to sound. It's back to 4 points.
Siren is imminent on the restart. Draper, McDonald tip Woody. Oh, he had a bounce and he was streaming forward. Maybe another 3 seconds and it could have been different. So the Giants sneak home.
59-55, the Giants falling over the line in a win that they had to get to keep their top four hopes alive. They're sitting seventh on the ladder. The Bombers, it really hurt them. They would have jumped into the eight as well with a win, but instead they sit in 11th position. Curls, again, lots of really distinct talking points about this one, but what did you make of the game as a whole?
Oh, I didn't give the Giants a chance when they went 29 points down. But credit to them, they stayed in it and scrapped and produced when they needed it. They dominated early, had 15-5 clearances at first quarter, but just couldn't score. No one could score in that first quarter. Then they gave up 6 goals in the second, but like I said, stayed in it. Scrapped with Phil Davis, who hurt his knee, kept playing on. A few blokes looked a bit sore, but they stayed in it, and credit to them, came over the top in the last quarter.
Let's talk about Phil Davis. You know, I'm not a fan of defenders masquerading as forwards, especially when they're not genuine swingmen like Harry Taylor at the Cats or, you know, those types. I would normally not want Phil Davis inside forward 50. I don't want Phil Davis kicking inside forward 50. Phil Davis is a back 50 operator. He's a D50 operator. He loves it. He's one of the best at it. And that's where he's comfortable. Having said that, he was injured. He was essentially a warm body to put in the goal square for Leon Cameron. And Phil probably put his hand up and said, yep, let's do it. I'll battle through. So as a warm body in some space, I'm happy for Phil to be masquerading as a forward. As long as he's not getting around and, you know, trying to join in the meetings with Jeremy Finlayson and Himmelberg and Jezza Cameron, I don't want him sitting there talking about leading patterns. But I'm happy for him to be a warm body in space.
He did well. He did well. He's injured, same as he did last year in the finals when he got injured. He went as a bit of a decoy, but we'll let him off this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's in the water in the hub for the Giants, but bloody now Heath Shaw's masquerading as a forward. Sure, he's running up and kicking goals.
Yes, two majors for the defender. I think we should put him on Coleman watch, short man Coleman watch. Yeah, he enjoyed him too, didn't he? The defender, the old man. Doesn't get up there too much. So when he got him, he certainly enjoyed him.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And for those that missed it, I'm going to stick it on the end of today's episode. Heath Shaw's work in the rooms afterwards for the broadcaster was almost as good as his work on field during the game. There is only one Heath Shaw, and he is a unique media talent. I think he's going to be best suited to radio when he gets off. I think the format lends itself to Heath Shaw's personality.
Yeah, well, he's obviously got a lot of talent, but I hate to tell him, Heath, there's no jobs out there, mate, so you might have to keep playing. You might have to keep playing for another 3 years until things get back to normal. But
he tried to negotiate with Jason McCartney in the rooms after the game. He tried to negotiate on camera.
Didn't go too well. So, yeah, good luck to him. I think the way he's playing, he could probably keep going for a couple as well. Well done to him.
Now, something that I think I heard the broadcast commentators speaking about it during the game, but the sidesteps on these GWS players, in particular, I speak of Lockie Whitfield and Zach Williams, and the best in the business, Brent Daniels. Dylan Buckley, former Giant, now media operator, told me back when he was with the Giants that I asked him before Brent Daniels' debut, I said, how does he go? He said, mate, he has the best sidestep I've ever seen in my life. He puts people into the fence posts. Like, he just leaves them in their boots or steps them out of them. And he's spot on. There was a moment, I think it was late in the fourth quarter, he was running on the commentary side. He had a Bombers player in front of him trying to guard for him from giving the over-the-top handball. He had a Bombers player closing in on his left. He stepped in between them where there was no space, and it led to a Giants goal, which might have put them in the lead.
Breaking ankles, I think the kids call it these days. No, he does that a lot, and I think that's why they love him, because he still hasn't kicked a goal. I think he sure reminded him of that in the post-match, but they love him because he's got so much speed and he just breaks games open. Remember that goal against the Lions in the final last year, created just from his speed. And, he's really important.
Apparently, and I might be making this up, but I'm fairly certain this is right, he was a pretty handy underage state-level wicketkeeper as well. So he has a little bit of that side-to-side movement. So, he was spectacular. He's not hitting the scoreboard, but as long as they keep winning, I'm not sure Leon Cameron will mind too much, because they got other blokes who can do that. You know, we look through the rose-coloured lens with the Sydney Swans. We look through that learning and development lens with everything they're doing this year. I can't help but put everything the Giants do through a premiership lens. After last year, and with the list they have and with the talent they have, I can't help but watch these games and review these games from the point of view that I think this team should be challenging for the premiership again. And I don't think that performance last Friday night was enough.
No, I totally agree. I don't think they're playing in a form, like, apart from, I guess, I reckon Whitfield, Cornelio, Haynes and Hopper. Perryman have probably been pretty consistent. Davis before he got injured. But there's a lot of players who are playing quarters and halves and three quarters here and there. But I guess what the Giants will say in retaliation to that is we're still winning. We're still a little, I think they're in the eight. I don't even know what round it is at the moment or how the ladder sits, because there's games four times a day.
Technically, we're reviewing round 10, but round 11 has already started.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue what's going on. But I think if they did, they won't care if they get to the end of the season, or maybe they will. But they won't care if in the next month, if they can keep winning and it's ugly and they can have their break in Perth and get home from that hub, or whatever happens after that hub. As long as they keep winning and keep building, they won't mind, because we saw what they did last year. And I think they can do that again if they can stay healthy and get these guys in form. Let's not forget Taranto's only just come back. Ward's missed a bit of footy. I think they're not in great shape, but they're in good enough shape at this time of the year.
Oh, very nicely summed up, Curls. Quickly before we go, the Cal Ward tackle, or the Cal Ward free kick at the end of the game against Sean McKernan. Cal Ward summed it up beautifully. Again, we're going to play this audio at the end of the episode. When he spoke to Shorey asked him, did you play for the free kick? And he summed it up beautifully. He said, no, I didn't play for the free kick. I knew the contact was coming, so I went lower and harder. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no. There was definitely contact made to his head, so it's a high tackle free kick. Now, did he put Mayo on the pirouette afterwards and nail the landing? Of course he did, but as we said 1,000 times on this show, that's players have been doing that forever.
Mm.
Contacted, it wasn't like he dived or he did anything like that. Like, there was contact there. Made sure the umpire saw it, which players have been doing for years, and got the free kick and nailed a really important goal. So, I think if Bombers fans want to blow off and say it cost them the game, maybe then they need to look a bit harder at their own team, because they were 29 points up at one stage. You've got to remember that.
Adam Cooney summed it up beautifully. He said, I wouldn't trust the Bombers team to walk my dog at the moment, because they can't hold on to a lead. That was very sharp work by Cooney. What Cal Ward did, in my mind, is no different to when players who are having their jumpers held throw their arms up in the air. It's the same thing. You are trying to indicate to the umpire that there is something going on that's against the rules and you should give me a free kick. Same thing. So jog on anyone who wants to complain about that for mine. The other thing I want to tell people to jog on about, if there's any Muppets out there, and I don't think there would be, who listen to the town, Curls, but if there are any Muppets out there that listen to the town, that bet on footy and then have a whinge on social media at the players when their multis don't, get stuffed. right? Don't bloody listen to this, because have a good hard look at yourself.
Amen.
Yeah. And to Cowboy, anyone here who listens to this who goes on and has a go at players on their social media after a poor performance or an indifferent performance, again, we don't need you. We don't need you. But this show is flying. We've got plenty of downloads. We don't need you. Curls, Lamb Mumford medallion. I got the votes for this one. For mine,
it was double votes.
Double votes. Double banger votes. But it, well, you'll see why in a moment. But for mine, the Lamb Mumford medallion might be one already. I gave one vote, in this case two votes, to the skipper, Stephen Cornelio. I thought he performed very strongly. The Bull, I gave two votes, or in this case four votes. Timmy Taranto, I love what he brings to this midfield mix. Best and fairest from last year. Lockie Whitfield is just, he gets the three votes, or in this case six votes. He's already the leader of the Lamb Mumford medallion. I don't know how far ahead this puts him, but I'm not sure we're talking enough about how good this guy is. He was a former number one draft pick. We know he's got all the talent in the world. Everyone's talking about, you know, Nick Haynes should be in the All-Australian, Jacob Wiedering. This bloke has to be the halfback in the All-Australian team.
Yep, totally agree. I don't know if it'll hurt him, but he does play forward and midfield as well. So hopefully that doesn't count against him. But yeah, the way he uses the footy and the way he just continues to run all day, gets bashed. He's still not.
Oh, he got hammered in a tackle by, was it McKenna? I think drilled him in one in this game.
And he just keeps running. So in a season like this, he's going to be vital to the Giants when guys are going down left, right, and centre from all teams. Mm. So these sorts of players, the Iron Man that can just keep running, are invaluable. So
running and then hitting targets at 81%, like on both feet.
Both sides.
On both feet.
Sides, yep.
He's just an outstanding footballer, super talented, and pretty easy decision for mine to give him the six votes in this occasion for the Lamb Mumford medallion. Now, Curls, before we go, we're in a unique situation. You talked about you don't know what round it is. It is, we've just spoken about the round 10 fixtures. The Swans and the Giants have the bye in round 11, which we're currently in the middle of. But the reality is that the game, the derby, the Sydney derby, is this Thursday night.
I just don't understand how that can work. I thought the bye was this week. Oh, my God.
It is this week. They're in the middle of the bye. But they will play, they start round 12 this Thursday night at Optus Stadium at 8:10 Sydney time.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about this season. I've just got no idea what's going on.
Well, we often say the first rule about Giants Swantown is you don't talk about next week.
How can you have a bye then play the day after?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
So the Sydney Derby happens this Thursday night. It will be the first game of round 12. Swans taking on the Giants, Optus Stadium, the first ever Sydney Derby, actually not held in Sydney. But Optus Stadium is spectacular. Let's hope that there are a few town fans over in Western Australia who can get along to this and fill out the crowd for what should be a good game. Look, let's be honest, the Giants, I was about to say the Giants should win, but we don't talk about next week. But form and all the rest of it goes out the window for local rivalries.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the Swans will set themselves for this one for sure. Hopefully they can get a couple of players back maybe. Yeah, both teams getting to a new city and a new hub. Yeah, hopefully my West Australian comrades come out in force.
I expect you to be putting in the calls to all the necessary people. All right, well, there you have it. The Giant Swantown is in the books for round whatever bloody hell round we're in. I think it's round 11. Swans and Giants with a bye. It's very confusing. End of this round. Giants sit 7th. Swans sit 17th. But don't worry, there's still 3 wins clear of the Adelaide Crows at the foot of the ladder. That is enough from the town for today. It's goodbye from me.
Speak to you next week, everyone.
And goodbye from the town.
Jeremy Cameron, come over here, mate. Goal-kicking phenomenon, same as me. Jeremy, talk us through that. You know that one in the pocket that you missed, the real easy one? Yeah. Talk us through that.
Oh, it's my first one in 10 years at the club. I've missed it at an important time. But obviously, you know, followed up 30 seconds later.
Could you say the pressure got to you a little bit with that one and then you had to redeem yourself, obviously, 40 or 50 seconds later?
Yeah. It makes it look better the second time. So it was more important and luckily that one went through.
Yeah, you were good.
I missed that one, I was in trouble.
You're in big trouble, mate. It was a long flight to Perth anyway. If you lose, it's no good. We're going to walk up into the change rooms here. Hopefully no one's got nude just yet. Yeah, it was a tough night at the office, I must admit. I gave away 3 goals, but I kicked 2, so it means I'm probably down 1 for the night. We might go to the skipper. Zach, get out of the way. You didn't do anything tonight. Come to Kalmi.
Stefan Cornelio.
Mi chiamo.
No, mi chiamo.
Oh, mi chiamo Heath.
Si.
Come stai?
Si, tutto bene. Tutto bene.
Stasera tutto bene.
Stasera
tutto bene?
Stasera, tonight.
Oh, tonight. You feel good tonight?
Okay. Tonight, yeah. Tonight, very good. Did you kick 2 goals?
I did kick 2 goals. And Stephen, I saw, now there's a little incident. I think it will come up on the video during the week. The ball gets kicked out of bounds on the full and you put on the burners and you run towards the boundary line, left side.
Yeah,
I know you're captain and I know you want to be the match winner, but you leave it to the left footers.
Yeah, I know. I actually looked right and saw it was Jeremy Cameron yelling at me and just went, oh, better put on the pedals there. So went back and didn't make the distance, mate. Very poor.
That's okay, mate. We'll work on that. I know it's your only, 8, 9, 10 games into your captaincy.
Yeah.
But we can work on that. We'll move on now.
What was I saying to you when you were having a set shot?
I'm not sure. There were so many people talking to me when I was trying to have a set shot. They were telling me to kick it through the 2 big sticks. Because I haven't done it for a long time. Who else play? Is my favourite. Come on. Come here, mate. Come here. Now, I'm not sure if the people out there know yet that Brett Daniels has played 10 games this year and hasn't kicked a goal for a forward. How are you feeling, mate? How many points?
Oh, 6 or 7, I think.
6 or 7 points. Is the pressure getting to you?
No, I love it when you kick a goal, Heath. More than actually me kicking the goal. So I was happy with it.
I know we don't train a lot anymore. Because obviously game back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. But during the week, come and see me for some goal-kicking practice. I'll tell you how to get there. I'll tell you where to be. I've been around a long time. Milk to 50. But, mate, we'll get there. When you do get that goal, it's going to be something special.
It'll be a match winner game.
It'll be very good, mate. Well done. Well done tonight. That 1 point helped us. Anyone else? Who's good? We could go to Mumford. No, he's talking to me. We should go to Mumford. No, we probably won't go to him. Aiden, we'll go to Callum Ward. He's back. That was a clutch goal from Callum Ward late in that game. Wardy, my favourite player. Yeah, they're all scared. They don't want to get on TV Friday night footy. Callum Ward back in the team this week. Played your first ever NEAFL game last week.
Yeah, I did. It was interesting. It was good fun.
It was good fun. 16 aside. Got a few kicks down there.
Got a couple. I played off the half back line last week. So to come in today and play in the midfield first half and didn't touch it, it was good to come back in the back half after that.
No, it was good. Through my calculations, 4 goals from defenders tonight. Yourself got one clutch one late in that game. You looked like you were going to pass it at one point. What was going through your head?
No, we just said take the 30, and then he said chip it if you want. And I saw Haynes out there about 30 away lateral. I thought I could just chip it and get another 30 after that, but I thought, no, I'm just going to kick the goal.
Now, so it's going to be a talking point through the week. Devin Smith was asking you the question late. Did you play for that free kick, that high free kick inside 50 to kick that clutch goal?
I thought I played it pretty well. I didn't play for it, but I knew the contact was coming, yeah.
Jeez, you're a smart boy, aren't you? Champion. Great finish. Wardy, well done on playing in the back line this week, but I prefer you more up the ground. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Should we go over? Yeah, we will. We'll go over to the football manager, the general manager or football manager. Apparently, the freeze is off on contract negotiations now, so I might have a go over chat to Jace. Actually, get out of the way.
Do we have contract clauses about goals?
Well, we did. I was just saying that the contract freeze is off, so we can negotiate contracts now. Would you, 34-year-old back pocket that can slide forward and kick a few every now and then? What are your thoughts?
Probably not.
Okay, moving on.
That was sensational, Heath. I didn't know you had it in you.
No, I did.
Thank goodness you did, because no one else did for a while.
Well, I did. I must admit, I did give away a couple of goals in that second quarter, so I thought I need a lift and get myself back on the level pegging. But we've got a few guys out of contract here. You know, we've got a key forward over there, Jeremy Cameron. If he's asking too much, you know what to do. Just swing me forward.
Well,
I've become a basement bargain price.
Well, today's evidence, it is a possibility. But
he did get a bit flustered when he had that shot in the pocket. He was telling me he was a bit nervous and then made up for it
later.
But, unlike him to miss that one too,
wasn't it? No, it very much so. But we've got a big flight to Perth. I think it's 5 hours, so we'll talk about my contract on the flight.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time to work through it and see how you go next week before I go putting any pen to paper with you.
Too easy, mate. Thank you. Last one, boys. We'll make our way to the first game, Xavier O'Halloran. I don't know where he is. I didn't know he was playing until the end of the game there, when we had to throw the drinks over him. We've had a clash of cameras here. It's all happening. Xavier, come and have a chat to me, mate. It's your first game. How was that, mate? Exciting stuff. Obviously, no family in the crowd at all.
Yeah.
But you spoke to them during the week. They were pretty pumped. How was the game?
Oh, fantastic. Super pumped for the opportunity and grateful. And just to get that over the line then was, unreal.
Friday night football against a big club like the Bombers, down by, I think it was 16 points, three-quarter time, and we just found a little bit. Did you get involved in that last quarter at all?
I can't really remember, to be honest.
It was all a bit of a blur?
As I said, I was just, pretty much floating on thin air.
I'd like to say that I remember my first game, but it was that long ago, I can't remember a thing. So, well done, Xavier, and good luck on the flight to Perth. I think that'll do us, guys. I'd love to talk to Mumford, but it nearly cost us a game late there. Next time we play Friday Night Football, whenever that is, happy to have you back.